Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with dedication to the local community. Visit them at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
By the soundboard, Nick Felice with me as always to encourage me and rattle my cage a little bit.
Yeah, what was that, like 4 weeks ago you got shocked? It was not that long ago.
This time of year gets brutal for me because I think it's just, you know me, I'm a big shorts guy. I don't like wearing pants, and I'm in long sleeve pants, long socks. A lot of things that get staticked up around here this time of year.
Yeah, luckily I'm not working today, so I just hopped over in the sweatpants today. Feel comfortable. You know. That's how I want to feel doing a podcast. So
yeah, nice little day off for you. Yeah, until you get another couple days off coming up anyway. So
yes.
About that. We will discuss a little bit Christmas.
Oh, I was going to bring my Christmas hat and I forgot.
Yeah, that'll happen. Luckily, we got enough of the Christmas cheer anyway around here a little bit that we've had up for a while now. So,
yep.
All right. Yeah, NFL bowl season. We'll talk a little Christmas as well as sprinkling a little bit of the Big Brother Reindeer games a little bit as well to discuss that, even though I have not been caught up on
it.
That's on me, but we could. I think because we're halfway through from our visual standpoint, we have enough to talk a little bit about it.
We've seen half the show.
Yeah, so. We'll jump into that. NFL, begin there. I think we ought to go locally because that ended up being, I think, the bigger headline, at least, of the weekend. Bills dismantling the Cowboys. I think, yeah, we both predicted Buffalo to win last week. I don't know if I fully anticipated that ass-whooping, though, to be completely honest. It just looked like Buffalo was, one, more prepared, but two, and I don't know if this is a case of, you know, you play who you play type deal, but they definitely look to be the better, just like the better of the team. You know, this talent was outweighed, I think, in the Bills' advantage. I thought more so than anything, you know, now, you know, 72 hours out from the game, they won the battle in the trenches more than anything else. I mean, I think you saw James Cook just have a field day and little trivia thing here for you, Nick. You know who got the game ball for the Bills after the game?
I don't.
You don't? James Cook. Or not James Cook, Josh Allen. Josh Allen got the game ball from Sean McDermott.
Interesting.
And then Josh Allen had to go find James Cook.
And he gave it to James Cook?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we had that and, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, the Cowboys, I don't know if it necessarily gets easier against Miami this week, right? But, you know, now, they get lucky that Philly loses, right? But the fact of the matter is, now they're completely behind the eight ball because San Fran's now got the leg up. But, you know, now we got three games left. You know, I don't know if you can – I don't – it's weird because, like, I feel like the Bills could flip the script to get to Miami, even though they're two games back. But, like, you know, I don't feel like Dallas or Philly, for that matter, can get to San Fran in that sense. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to catch San Fran, either one of them. But I think it's more important that they get this 2-seed, though. The Lions are 10-4 as well. Yeah. And you know how important the 2-seed is? Yeah, you get that first home game. If you win division, you get the 3-seed. And you can still get a home game. But more than likely, you're probably going to have to play at Detroit for that semifinal game unless a bunch of upsets happen. But even upset, they'll play the one seed. So that it don't matter. So there's a good chance they could be on the road starting in the divisional round. And that's not a comfortable route to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so they have to worry about the 2-seed, have to worry about the division. They're both in. They don't have to worry about that. And then, of course, you know, the loser of this division race is going to have to be most likely the 5-seed and have to play. We still believe in Atlanta. But
yeah.
Either way, whoever wins that division is you're going to have to go on the road and still win the game. And against, if it gets, I know the Saints aren't very good. Saints could lose to anybody. They definitely can't beat anybody. But they could definitely lose to anybody. But if you have to go into the Superdome in the first round of the playoffs, that's not a good look for an Eagles and Cowboys team that are kind of reeling a little bit lately. The whole division is reeling. Even the Giants lost this week. Tommy DeVito magic's over. We can get over that. But Eagles definitely have the better schedule the rest of the way. I think they can win the division. Tough loss against the Seahawks. Great win for the Bills. I mean, that was a huge game for the Bills. I mean, you saw what happened to the Broncos. They lost a tough one. Now they're feeling like at 7-7. Obviously, at 8-6, you're feeling better than 7-7. But at 7-7 in a wild AFC race, Bills are feeling good at 8-6. And could be a scary 6-7 seed if they get in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the tough part with the Bills, right, is the fact that they have to go out and win, right, but they don't control their own destiny. Whereas, you know, the teams above them kind of handle that case. You know, Indy, Houston, that game's not this weekend. So I need to double check. I was pretty sure, but, like, I'm like, wait, I need to, like, and it's not this weekend. So
when is it?
I believe next weekend, I think, it's that game. But, like, yeah, the Bills don't have any of the tiebreakers. Right, so that puts them behind the eight ball. It's one of those things where, like, I look at it, and I said it last week, I'll say it again. I kind of view Cleveland as kind of just locked themselves in. I know they aren't locked in to the playoffs, right? But, you know, they've been at that five seed pretty much since, like, week eight.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a big win they had this
right.
week.
Yeah.
Came back.
Hold on. Because
that was scary at the end.
Poor Darnell Mooney. Going to be living in a bit of some infamy, I'd say, in Chicago Bear lore. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The AFC, Baltimore's the only team that's clinched right now. San Fran, Dallas, and Philly have all clinched in the NFC to the point that San Fran's already got the division, which pretty telling.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, kind of tough. And it's weird because, like, the West, it's not like they're bad, right? But, like, the Rams and Seahawks have had different stuff happen all year.
Washington got eliminated.
Yep. Yeah, your Giants could be eliminated this weekend, possibly. So
what are we still doing alive?
But it's interesting because, like, Tampa Bay is technically in the fourth spot as the NFC South representative right now.
Yeah.
And that's a team that big win in Green Bay this past weekend. And they got Jacksonville this weekend. So a little Florida battle. But, yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. We finally have the conclusion of the when is Brandon Staley going to get fired saga.
That was a great game.
Sure. I'll take your word for it. Not the word I would go for, but I'll allow you to have it.
Giving up 63 points to a Raiders team that didn't score last week.
And yeah, franchise record for the Raiders of points in a game.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
But I do have a hot take about it. Well, potential hot
You're a
take.
Staley guy.
Well, no. I don't know if I would have fired him, though, at this point in the season. Because, look, take this from a Washington guy. They kept Ron Rivera on for one distinct reason at this point, and that's just to get the best draft pick possible. You just don't fire a coach right now, especially one that, like, the team's been quitting around him. Now, I get it in that sense, and it's probably the right move just based on the fact that the Chargers just looked like they did not want to be there last week, right? But with 3 weeks left, you want to get the best draft pick possible. Like, I keep the tank rolling, you know. Now, you know, not to give away, you know, what picks here when we get to them in a few minutes, but, you know, the Bills come to town, and you know it's already a bit of a transient type game, right? Bills Mafia's going to be out in full force in L.A., I would assume. But, like, that's still a decent enough Chargers team with enough talent there that they could go out and I wouldn't be surprised if they win, right? Because it's any given, like, well, beginning this weekend, any given weekend again in the NFL with Saturday games and multiple Monday games because of Christmas. So,
and a Thursday game.
Yeah.
That's a crazy week.
It's been there, though. So, yeah, I was just – the timing of it's kind of what caught me off guard, admittedly, just based on where we are in the season and what teams sometimes do when – coaches get fired.
I think they were gonna keep him the whole season. It just Thursday was a mess.
Yeah,
they like you said, they quit on him, and there's just the ultimate you know, having a little pride in yourself. And, yeah, you want to tank, but you can't go three more weeks with this guy as the head coach. So I think it's just – that's why it came the next day. It's not surprising it came the next – what was the next morning he got fired. So, yeah, it's just – it happened to be – it was time for him to go. We just can't have him here. And, you know, it was a huge question mark at the quarterback position. It wasn't like it was all his fault.
Right.
I mean, that's not a good Chargers team right now. And, yeah, he had to go. It's a very intriguing job. The Panthers won, not so much, especially with the owner, short lease there. But
and the other stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I think it's a very interesting job, the Chargers. Got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Just made the playoffs. Should have won a playoff game against Jacksonville last year. Blew it. You know, L.A., great stadium. I take it.
I would suppose on paper it's probably number one.
I think their quarterback's a little overrated.
Well, okay, again, though, I don't want to fully do this debate thing right now, but, like, you know, as somebody who's lived through it,
he's
don't.
Potential, but he has not really shown a lot.
I mean, I don't disagree. Okay, I don't disagree, but, like, life sucks without even an average quarterback. I can tell you that much.
What do you know?
Huh?
What do you know about an average quarterback?
I miss Kirk Cousins. Incredibly, still to this day. So,
you would take the job, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine it's probably the number one job.
Belichick?
I don't know how much I buy into him taking another job, to be completely
honest. I
think
he's retiring.
Yeah, I think he's at the point where I think he's ready to. If he's done with New England, I think he's done. Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he took that job. I'd be surprised if he took any job, right? I don't want to make it sound like it's whatever, but he's, what, 70? Is he 71? Might be older than that, actually.
Definitely in the 70s.
But, yeah, I just have a hard time believing that he would take another job at this point. Just, especially that one, in theory, you're literally are moving across coast. I don't think... I mean, the furthest west he's been coaching-wise, I guess, would have to be Cleveland, right? Like,
yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I can't imagine him taking that job. I can't. You know, maybe.
Harbaugh.
Yeah, Harbaugh's the one that apparently is gaining steam here over the course of the past 24 hours, actually.
Really?
I guess the Chargers have been in touch with his people. Don't know if there's quite mutual interest, but I don't think it's a secret Harbaugh wants to get back to the NFL.
I think he's going to let this playoff play out first.
Well, correct. What I'm saying is, I don't think it's a secret he wants to get back.
They don't wait too long to get these head coaches, though.
Right.
So it'd be intriguing if he takes – I would assume he would finish out his Michigan tenure. But he hasn't even gotten the job, so let's not jump too far ahead. But.
Well, the beauty about the playoff this year that works well with the long season of the NFL, championship game is the Monday after the final week.
Oh, really?
Final regular season week.
Oh, really?
The NFL. Yeah, I think that final Sunday is the 8th. I think the championship game is the 9th or whatever that Monday is. So, yeah. I mean, if they make it, in theory.
It's true.
Which, luckily, that will be previewed within, I believe, our next podcast. Right? Yes, correct. So, we'll get to that next week, more or less. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I know he's been linked to the Bears job.
Yeah, that's
Charger nice. Thing has really gained momentum. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden Nick Saban, even though they're playing Michigan, was talking very much in favor of Jim Harbaugh and the Harbaugh family as a collective unit. I think that is a guy knowing his reach and extending an olive branch for a coach that might need a little assistance here across the finish line, if you will. So, something to keep an eye on, you know. Other than that, in the NFL, is there anything really else to really kind of touch on?
On the flip side, the Eagles loss is definitely the Seahawks getting a big win.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they would have been, what, 6-8? Now they're 7-7.
Yeah.
And they got a favorable schedule down the stretch. And the Rams, and my brother was telling me this since he's a Seahawks fan, the Rams play the Saints coming up, I'm pretty sure. And those are two teams that are also 7-7. So you get the loser of that. Maybe a Minnesota loss, and Seattle can win out, and they're in.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, right? I mean, the Rams look to be pretty much in control of that Washington game on Sunday, and next thing you know, Jacoby Brissett gets swapped in and kind of leaves a late charge by the Mandos. So, yeah, who knows? Mitch Trubisky got benched officially. I feel like more of that could probably be brought up a little bit when we do our picks. But, yeah, Pittsburgh, again, that's another team that now they're behind these 8-6 teams in the AFC. But even then, that was a team I never really could take seriously.
No, I mean, I always say I like Mike Tomlin, great coach. But 500 football is not Steelers football.
Overrated coach.
You think overrated?
I've said that for a while.
I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so I have a little love towards the Steelers. Not too much, but
gross.
I think he's a great coach. I just think 500 football is not going to cut it. So his tenure as the head coach of the Steelers, I don't know. I think it might be coming to an end here. So
it's wild because I brought that up actually like 2 or 3 years ago when kind of like the loss of the locker room kind of happened that first time through when. Yeah, the Le'Veon Bell stuff going on, Antonio Brown, the Ben Roethlisberger kind of acting on his own type thing. I'm like, this is a guy who looks like he's lost the locker room after a ton of years. And sometimes that just happens with these legendary coaches, right? And Tomlin's done a lot of good in his career, obviously. But
I mean, how long ago was that Super Bowl?
Oh, that last one?
Yeah.
Jeez, 21.
12 years ago?
12.
What Super Bowl was coming up? 58?
Something like that. It's crazy. Yeah. No, 57. Wait.
50 was in 2016.
Is this 57?
57.
Yeah.
26. No, 58. Because 50 was in 2016. Yeah. I'm almost certain. Yeah. This is 58.
This is gross.
Jeez. 58.
Yeah. I got nothing really else from the NFL this weekend, to be completely honest.
Tommy Cutlets, is over. I was never a believer in it. But I did enjoy it. It was a good run.
So I got one more week of it.
Kind of saved Brian Daboll's job in some way. I don't think he was ever...
I don't know about that. That's a bit extreme.
I don't think he was ever going to get fired. But the rumors of him getting fired have definitely sizzled down over showing that he could coach a little bit here these last few weeks. It's because it's a whole Buffalo Bills, you know, team we got in there now. With, you know, the GM, the coach. So I was never... gonna say he was gonna get fired, but there was a lot of rumors that you know how New York spreads with its news, and so yeah,
fire him and bring in Sean McDermott. Like
Tommy Cutlets saved Brian Daboll's job.
Okay,
there's a headline for you.
That's a take. That's a take. I won't leave it at that. let's see here. Yeah, what's this hop into our picks for the week because it was an interesting week. I went 10-6, Nick. You went 11-5, which means, for those who may not know, we are officially tied in the season-long standings. 135.
Beat you last week?
In 90.
I thought it was terrible. What'd I go?
11-5.
I didn't get the Chargers one right. I don't think I did.
We both did we both picked Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the quarterback.
Easton Stick. Yeah. Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah. Great game. You know, the first three games of last week were all backup quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The first six quarterbacks that showed up.
Yep.
Crazy.
All right, Thursday night this week, New Orleans at the Rams. The Rams are 4-point favorites.
Thursday game.
Thursday.
You big Thursday guy.
We're doing this again.
That's the big game, Saints-Rams.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Rams.
Same.
You don't want me to take the lead there.
Huh?
You don't want me to take the lead there. We're tied right now.
Well, the main issue with that is, like, the Saints, if they ever showed just an ounce of consistency at some point this year, I probably would have been, like, Saints all day, to be honest. Because it's not like the Rams give you much faith down the stretch of a game.
Big Taysom Hill guy?
Saturday, 4:30. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh getting 2 points. Should I begin? I'll do this one. Cincinnati.
Nope. Cincinnati.
You're not on that one, eh?
I like Jake Browning. Steelers.
It's not so much Jake Browning in this game as it is Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, he might go under 500 this year, Tomlin.
I will put him on the hot seat.
Oh, wow.
I know you want me to put Pete Carroll on the hot seat, but I can't. Mike Tomlin's the guy on my hot seat.
Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin will both never get fired. I think it would be more of like a Jim Boeheim push.
Oh, gosh. That'd be unfortunate. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Buffalo at the Chargers. Chargers are 11.5-point dog at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's also indoors.
Right.
Bills players probably got to love that. It was cold the last game. It's going to be a pretty warm one. Like the Bills, I don't know if I like the 11.5.
Same in that grand scheme of it, but Buffalo, yeah, should handle business pretty easily. Sunday at 1, we get to Christmas Eve football.
Christmas Eve football. Full slate of games, too. Red zones that day.
Oh, boy. What are we going to do?
You got to be committed, man.
I guess so. Indianapolis, the Colts at Atlanta. Atlanta, 1-point favorites at home.
Colts at Atlanta.
Yep.
I hate Atlanta, so Colts.
I just physically can't trust Atlanta.
They're still right there.
But Indianapolis is the better team. I mean,
I said last week.
I'll take the Colts.
Like I said, I think it was last week. Really. What if Atlanta keeps going to the Super Bowl, man?
Gosh. Arthur Smith just keeps surviving. Green Bay at Carolina. Carolina, 5-point dogs.
Jeez.
I'm taking Green Bay.
This is on TV.
This is on a TV somewhere, yes.
You're going to Carolina?
No. Green Bay.
Green Bay. Yeah, Green Bay.
So for the folks at home, we are tied in our season standings, and we have matched fixed all the way so far.
We want to remain tied.
Okay, we have Cleveland at Houston. Houston, 2.5-point home dogs.
Houston, we got a problem.
Okay.
Loss of Stroud's a problem. I think it's going to cost them a playoff spot. This will be get Cleveland in the playoffs, this win right here. Cleveland.
I'm taking Cleveland as well.
Yes, that's
bad. It's just, I mean,
Houston.
Yeah.
They had a great year. Lost Stroud.
It's not
Stroud's playing, though.
I don't want to be that.
I think he's back.
He's out this week.
Oh, he is.
They already ruled him out, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's never a good thing when Case Keenum plays the whole game, then when they need to throw the ball long, they put in Davis Mills. Never a good thing. Never a good thing when that happens.
Cleveland just keeps putting on quarterbacks, and they do well.
Yeah, so. All right. Also of note here, I just realized, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. 5 of our 6 picks are all road teams.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
This is interesting. Will the streak continue with this game? As it's Detroit at Minnesota. Minnesota, 3.5-point underdogs.
I like the Vikings in this game.
Why, Nick?
home. You scared me with all the road picks.
It's a good point.
It's a must win for Vikings, I feel like. They got to beat the Lions. And they played them twice in the last 3 weeks here. They got to win the home one. And they're not terrible. Who's their quarterback?
The Vikings?
Mullins.
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, I have a hunch. Okay. That's my analysis there. I got a hunch.
I'll take Detroit.
I got a hunch.
I think, you know, we talk about locking up playoff spots. I think this might be the weekend for Detroit.
Win the division for the first time since the 60s.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think it's happening. All right, we have Washington at the Jets. The Jets are 3-point home favorites.
Is this on the same channel as Green Bay, Carolina?
Probably, because you want to know what I'm doing here? I'm taking the Jets. you're not doing it here. Okay.
Why, Paul? Okay, a little delayed. I had to think about it.
Well, you know, I've done nothing but pick road teams. no. Oh, man. Yeah, I guess maybe in the grand scheme of it, it's probably not great. But, like, this gives me just the vibes of, like, oh, neat. Final score, 6-3. And
yeah, this is definitely going to be a 0-0 tie.
Ugly game. But I think this is me just selfishly, too, just hoping that Washington gets his best draft pick as possible at this point. So,
Washington, I can confidently say Washington wins this game 10-9.
Wow. I'll give you a bonus game in the bag if you actually get that score right. I'm going down 10-9 next to that score, by the way. for that. If you get the score right on that one, I'm giving you a bonus point.
Really?
Yes.
All right, 10-9.
But if you lose, Seattle at Tennessee to round out the early window. Tennessee 2.5-point home underdog.
Is Vrabel on the hot seat?
I don't think so.
I hope not. I like him, but Seattle needs this game. Going Seattle.
Yep, I guess I return to taking the road game as the road team as well.
In Nashville,
getting the Seahawks. Short week though, coming to the East Coast on a short week for them
on Christmas Eve.
Yep, they'll be home for Christmas.
Good, I was worried.
Three games in the late window on Sunday. First at 4:05, Jacksonville at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay a 1-point favorite at home.
Jacksonville at Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville has not been playing well.
Yeah, I'm taking Tampa Bay here.
Is that your favorite part of Florida?
Huh?
Jacksonville, your favorite part of Florida?
I'm a big Tampa Bay guy.
Big Orlando guy. Why is there not a football team there?
That's a good question. Yeah, they do have a football team. UCF, baby. The Golden Knights. They're probably the Citronauts.
They're, what was it, AAF team?
AAF team, yeah, yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Awful.
It's the second time in 2 days the AAF's been brought up to me.
Really?
Yeah. And I gotta be honest with you, but until yesterday, I completely forgot about its existence. I'm taking Tampa Bay, though. I just think they're the – I don't even know if they're necessarily the better team right now, but, like, Jacksonville the past few weeks, man, I just – I don't know. I thought they'd put up a really better showing against Baltimore, and they did not.
They need this one. I'm taking the Jaguars. Give me the Jaguars.
All right.
Battle Florida. With Miami.
It's a weird – well, it's funny you bring them up because they aren't the next game in the 4:25 window. It's Arizona at Chicago.
Is this Chicago, on the channel too?
Chicago is a 4-point favorite. I won't take the Cardinals here.
I know he doesn't play on the Cardinals anymore, but maybe thought – I thought Josh Dobbs had a short lease with Minnesota. Why is he not the starter anymore?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
That kind of threw me off. Yeah. But Arizona's stupid to let him go, so I'm going Chicago.
So we finally have picks going against each other here.
I like Arizona. You like Kyler.
Yeah.
Like Clingsbury.
Yeah, I just think they're off. No. I forget who that coach is there.
Oh.
His past coaching stuff got a lot of, like, no-name guys, in my opinion.
So you don't know anything about the Eagles, neither do I. The Eagles coach, I think, is the Cardinals and the Colts coach. And I don't know their names.
Yeah.
Steichenin?
But I know who Big Dom is.
Big Dom, yeah.
He was officially banned from the sideline. Dallas at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are a 1.5-point favorite.
Better weather, but it ain't happening again. It's happening again.
Oh, I was about to say.
It's better weather, but it's the same result will happen, is what I'm trying to say. Miami wins this game and put me down for 31-6.
Okay. Interesting. I'm taking Miami as well. I think this is a big put-up or shove game, actually, for Miami. They got that lingering, you know, they can't beat good teams.
That's true.
Blah, blah, blah.
It would be only fitting that their one good team would be is the Cowboys.
Right, so.
Makes the question, are they good?
Speaking of are they good, New England at Denver. Denver 6.5-point favorites at home.
Imagine if that channel had quadruple header and it was those four terrible games.
Right.
And it ended with this one. Take it, Denver.
Same.
They're home, right?
Christmas Eve at home. Snow could be falling at Mile High.
Could be sunny.
It's Christmas time. I'm going to stop there before I kill people. And
you got a great voice.
And get a copyright strike. All right, Christmas Day at 1 p.m. on Monday. The Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are 10-point favorites.
No. Going to be. Knicks might be blown out by the Bucks by that time at 1 o'clock.
It's brutal.
Where's this game?
It's in Kansas City.
At Arrowhead. I'm going to take Kansas City.
Yeah, same. All right, the 4:30 game. Giants at the Eagles. The Eagles are 12-point favorites.
Give me the G-men. They don't know how to tank, man. Give me the G-men in this game.
I think the Eagles need a win. They're going to get it, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Nick. Feel bad.
Tommy, take the point.
I feel bad Tommy Cutlets getting presumably knocked off. So I'm sorry.
Giants don't have great offense, but they got enough to win that game.
And then finally, Monday Night Football on Christmas.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was a triple header the other day.
Baltimore at San Fran.
That's the game.
San Fran is 5-point favorites.
It took us forever to finally get to this game. It's a great game. Probably the two number one seeds. Super Bowl preview. Was a Super Bowl blackout game. Was a Harbaugh Bowl. It's a rivalry that's been going on for a while. It's a rivalry people don't talk about. I'm taking the Niners because they're the best team in the league.
Same. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Baltimore does cover that 5, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. 5 points a lot.
Yeah, so, especially in that game. Is it a rivalry game, though?
It's becoming, isn't
it? Well, I'm just asking.
They had a Super Bowl. The Harbaugh coach there.
Just because they have a Super Bowl doesn't make the Bengals and Rams rivals. You know?
But right now, they're the number one seeds.
I guess. I don't know.
No, it's not a rivalry, but it should be.
All right, what's up?
Yeah, let's talk about the Roca Raton.
The Boca Raton Bowl one. We'll get to that in a second. College football, though, been an interesting week. As we record, it's still early signing day. It's, 3:05 right now. I haven't seen any crazy news. I know there's been some flips and stuff like that, but my Syracuse Orange are climbing up the rankings a little bit. Nick, your Notre Dame Fighting Irish settled into the top.
Is that what today is, signing day?
Early signing day.
Notre Dame football Instagram keeps blowing up my phone. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Notre Dame currently sits, I believe, last night. I know they're in the top 10. I believe they're like 7 or 8.
Syracuse is like 40th.
Yeah, so, it's always stuff like this, and it's pretty interesting. I've actually gotten a couple texts from a couple different people like, this day means kind of like nothing. Like, what's the point of it? It's just early signing day. This is when those higher-end prospects sign on so they can begin classwork in January, so they can be with the team in the spring, stuff like that. You know, whether or not all of them actually come up to be that way, nobody actually knows, okay? So start there. But, pretty interesting. Georgia's got the number one recruiting class again right now, the rich get richer type scenario at the moment, but that's typically the way it is for college football.
Who's number two?
Is it Alabama?
Could be.
Alabama or Ohio State. I don't know. Either way. I haven't looked in a couple hours, actually. So, but it's one of those things where, it's funny because we're in the middle of bowl season, end of the season. We got this stuff going on, and coaches on the moves, players on the moves in the transfer portal. It's hectic. It's chaotic. It's all that stuff. So that's where that stands right now. Bowl season hasn't been any too much chaos, unless you count the famous Toastery Bowl, which I was, first off, ESPN turning away from that game in a crucial third down in overtime to give us 2 hours of pregame for Monday Night Football.
They turned away from the game?
Yes.
Wow.
They moved it abruptly from ESPN to ESPN2 on a third down in overtime. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And furthermore, that game, the bowl itself, is one that ESPN pays for. Like, on their own, out of pocket to have.
What are they doing?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Who's the game?
Famous Toastery Bowl. It was the Old Dominion Monarchs of the Sun Belt against the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers of the CUSA.
Who won?
The Toppers in overtime, baby. Overcame a 28-7 deficit.
Wow.
To win in overtime. How about that? Toppers, Nick. Toppers.
So is that why there's no bowl games today?
No bowl games today, yeah.
Is that why today's the
Saturday? I don't know why there's no, admittedly. They got games next week on Wednesday. I know that.
Syracuse, the only game tomorrow?
Yes, only bowl game tomorrow.
What time is that?
8. Basketball game is at 5 now. I'm going to that. I'm going to the basketball game.
You're going.
Yeah, the game was initially at 7, moved to 5, so because of the bowl game.
Playing Niagara?
Niagara, the Purple Eagles.
Greg Paulus.
Head coach. Yeah.
Lost to Notre Dame in the opener. Who just got beat by the Citadel by 20 last night?
By the way, I know this. We're talking college football here, but Shrewsbury. Ooh, I don't know if it takes a lot to get him mad, but he was a bit perturbed at some of your players yesterday. I can tell you that.
I didn't see the post game.
Yeah,
he was mad.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
He more or less said, if you don't want to actually play, like, he has no problem helping you to get to the transfer.
I watched a little bit of the game, so bad. They were getting crushed.
Yeah.
And they had some different guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went to, like, deep in the bench to, I think, send a message.
Yeah.
And
I saw some guys that hadn't been playing
all year. I would put it this way. I would hope message received, because the way he was talking post game is, it's pretty damning of some of these guys.
At home, yeah, to get blown out by the Citadel. Need to remind you, I didn't even know this guy, this Elijah Morgan guy. I watched a little bit of it. It was a walk-on at Notre Dame, and he was leading scorer for the Citadel.
Oof.
That's embarrassing. He was, like, one of the leading scorers. I don't know if he finished the top scorer, but that's embarrassing. That was an embarrassing loss yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know it's tough for you, but what are you going to do? We did have one coaching hire technically occur within the past week. Officially, James Madison hired Bob Chesney from Holy Cross. That was a name that Syracuse was linked up with. Kurt Cignetti now up in Indiana, so James Madison finding their new coach, really good hire. I think it continues on the legacy that Cignetti has started there, admittedly, and hopefully they keep going.
But
in the Sun Belt.
The new Syracuse coach, though, seems like he's a great recruiter, though.
Rembrandt's killing it, dude. Killing it.
I think.
Yeah, the fact we got players coming down as their final choices between, like, oh, Florida State, Alabama, and Syracuse. I'm like, oh, shit, yo. Yeah, it's wild.
And have we had a show since Colin McCord?
We have not.
But what are we waiting for? Let's hear your thoughts. A Colin McCord.
Love it. Now, I know I mocked him. But here's the thing you have to understand. Ohio State fans are beyond spoiled. Okay, Kyle McCord is a great quarterback, but you're comparing him to C.J. Stroud, Justin Fields, Dwayne Haskins. He can't do the things that those guys did, and he still had a great year this year. The fact that they were blaming him outright on the Michigan loss is asinine. And to me, I think it's more indicative of Ryan Day, who just, like, was kind of thinking about making a quarterback switch. It kind of felt like he was forcing McCord out more than anything else. So you want to know what? Good for him. I think people forget, too, that, like, Syracuse offered McCord anyway in high school. Like,
oh,
it's
really?
Not like – yeah, it's not like he was – Syracuse and him weren't on each other's radars before. Like, it's kind of wild to me all of a sudden the dialogue around Syracuse being like, oh, it's – and, look, I get it. We aren't, like, a great Power Five, but, like, it's really weird how the dialogue has kind of shifted around here given what we kind of know is going on recruiting now. You know what I mean? So, hey, it is what it is in that sense. But in the grand scheme of it, I like it. It's a one-year – obviously, it's a one-year deal. He only has 1 year of eligibility left, and that's all right. I think it's going to work out better than the Greg Paulus thing. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, you can go out and recruit and get a good quarterback to come in behind him now. You know that this is a guy who – involvate that offense as long as you got that line figured out in front of them. And based on the early indications from signing day right now and the transfer portal, looking pretty good on that front.
Is Fran Brown or Kyle McCord going to be at the game tomorrow?
Oh, the basketball game?
No, the football game.
Oh, Fran Brown might be in attendance in like the like a box as like a fan, quasi-fan. I don't know if McCord technically can be there. I think it's a team-by-team basis on the old team of where they've gone before. I know the Toastery Bowl, for example, Old Dominion did not allow any transferring out players even to watch the game. Western Kentucky allowed players, if they were transferring, to play no matter what. So it's a team-by-team thing.
Yeah,
I don't know Ohio State's rules. They're a weird school. They think that they can trademark the word "the," so
yeah,
that's what it is.
The Syracuse right. Orange.
So the Gannon University, the Cuca College. So either way, yeah, I it's great though. I mean, when was the last time Syracuse football was
in the news
headlines like
yeah.
this? Right?
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
Yeah,
so. I think it's great for the team. Wasn't huge on McCord this season, but for Syracuse, it's a great ad. And he's going to bring some hype around the team next year, him and the coach, and they're not done. So I think Syracuse is going to be the most hyped up football season in a while next year.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, It definitely makes renewing the tickets a lot easier.
Where's Dino? Yeah. What's he doing?
Hanging out in Manlius. I don't know. let's see. Yeah, let me roll with my picks here for the bowl.
How many bowl games we got this week?
I believe I counted 12 between now and next podcast. Now, there's a bit of an issue. Next week, there is a bowl game at 2 o'clock right before we go live. So I'm going to hold that until next week, technically. I promise, Scout's Oath, I will not cheat. yeah, it wasn't great. Well, I went 4-5 last week. So if you actually bet, you would have made money last week on my picks. Main issue is, for the overall record, it puts me to 47-47-2.
47-47-2.
On the year. So,
oh, wow, a lot of pressure here.
Either way, not to be that guy, you would definitely be making money, though, at least.
These are hard, though, because you're
And you don't know. I mean, that's the key thing, too, with these. You don't know who's going to be where. And that I'd say I had to take that into account with these bowl games in particular. There's more in this block of games than the previous ones from this past week where there's transfers and other injuries and stuff like that going on that you had to take into account. So
let's start with Syracuse.
Yeah, the Boca Raton Bowl, South Florida at Syracuse versus Syracuse. I'm taking Syracuse -3.
Of course.
Tough not to. I got to pull from there. But even then, I think Syracuse, they're not losing a ton in terms of transfers. I know South Florida isn't either. At that point, you just kind of got to go head-to-head. And I
Who's the quarterback?
That's the edge, so. Yeah, so it's interesting.
What's happened to Schrader? He graduating?
Yes. Well, no matter what, yes, but he's getting shoulder surgery, and his main concern was playing that last game to ensure a bowl game was occurring. So, yeah, I'm going Syracuse. I just think head to head they got.
Who's their quarterback?
I mean, I think you're going to see Dan Valeri under center, the tight end, so, yeah, I don't know. Been pretty quiet, though. The Gasparilla Bowl, Georgia Tech versus Central Florida. I'm taking Georgia Tech +5. They're a case here where they aren't losing some players to the portal. UCF actually has a few players into the portal already. Again, don't know officially their status, but... I think GT +5 anyways, a solid play there.
So you don't like Central Florida. You don't like South Florida. Do you like North Florida?
North Florida is a Division II school for football, so we'll get to that next year because that playoff is over. the Birmingham Bowl, Troy versus Duke. I'm going to take Troy -7.5. Duke has guys in the portal left and right now because Elko is now the head coach at A&M, so... you know, if they still had a couple players hanging around, that'd be a lot more of an interesting game. But we'll have a Sun Belt team beat an ACC team there, I'd say. The Camellia Bowl, Arkansas State -3 versus Northern Illinois, taking Arkansas State. Going to see a common theme here amongst these rest of the MAC teams the rest of the way with my picks, unfortunately. Armed Forces Bowl, James Madison versus Air Force. I'm taking the Dukes -2. Obviously minus Cignetti, but Air Force struggled down the stretch. Madison, on the other hand, did not. So I'm going to take James Madison.
Where is that game?
Armed Forces Bowl. I believe that one is in Texas. Yeah, so. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. One of my favorites. Georgia State versus Utah State. I'm taking Utah State -2.5. I know Georgia State's already probably out there prepping, but... it's more of the issue of climate and how much they're used to that period. So I'm going to take Utah State. The 68 Ventures Bowl, which I can't remember what bowl that was previously, admittedly. South Alabama versus Eastern Michigan. I'm taking South Alabama -17.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do those teams get matched up in a bowl?
I don't know.
If it's that big of a spread.
It's about the conferences you play with and stuff like that. The Las Vegas Bowl, Utah versus Northwestern. I'm taking Utah -6.5. Though Northwestern's turned out to be a really great, surprising team this year. But we'll stick with the Utes and Kyle Willingham. The Hawaii Bowl, Coastal Carolina against San Jose State University.
Christmas Eve.
Not anymore.
What?
Saturday night.
Are you kidding me? I look forward to that.
There's
every
no
Christmas
bowls on Christmas Eve or Christmas this
because year. Because the NFL.
Hawaii, yeah, so the Hawaii Bowl, Coastal Carolina, and San Jose State. I'm taking San Jose State minus 10.5. Jesus. Coastal Carolina got pillaged in the portal already. I know Grayson McCall's already out. He's going to NC State now. So, yeah, I think the Spartans of San Jose State are the easy pick there. Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, Bowling Green State versus Minnesota. I'm taking Minnesota minus 3.5. The only 5-win team in the bowl games this year, Minnesota. But, again, another MAC team. They just haven't done well in the bowl games recently. So until proven otherwise, I got to fade. Excuse me. The First Responders Bowl, Texas State against Rice, Battle of Texas Teams. We'll take Texas State minus 5.5 there. Rice, JT Daniels is healthy. Might be a different story, but he's not retired, obviously, already. So Google with the Bobcats. And then the last one, Tuesday next week before we return, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Kansas versus UNLV. This was formerly whatever bowl is held in Phoenix there. The I don't know.
Sun Bowl?
No, not the Sun Bowl. The Sun Bowl is one of the more we'll get to that next week. I'm taking UNLV plus 12.5 in that game. Kansas dinged up injury-wise, so I'll take the Rebs, who have played really well down the stretch, and not ask for any questions until after.
So next week you're doing the playoff.
Yeah, next week we'll have playoff and the rest of them, yeah. So I love bowl madness. I love bowl season. It's the best.
Bowl mania.
Bowl mania.
Get it right.
Whatever. It's also bowl season. In fact, they market it as bowl season now. So,
really?
Yep. All right, before we get our Christmas stuff, I mean, obviously, merry and bright and stuff like that. Let's start, though, with Big Brother Reindeer games. Yes. So, like we said, we aren't fully caught up, but we did see all of the first week last week. Really like the concept, to be completely honest. I think, obviously, they probably could do this any time of year, just tie in a theme. This happened that this was Christmas-oriented.
Yes.
But I really do like how it's more just based in that sense. We're kind of seeing, to me anyway, a little bit more of a, I'd say an actual game being played in a sense, outside of maybe the first episode to a degree, which kind of seemed like they were just being up on the rookie.
Yes.
To be fair.
Our guy Cameron.
Yep. So, barring than that, job well done. I mean, obviously, the only reason why this is serious is because of the writer's strike and now.
Yes. And that's the obvious part.
But, yeah, I'm impressed. I wouldn't hate if they did this maybe like every other year type thing. You know, just get a few of them together, do some comps, you know, pay out. You know, I know they're doing $100,000, but, you know, I'm sure someone would come back like $50,000 or something like that just to play.
Yeah, it's just nice to see some Big Brother, you know, legends, and in quotes. some of them are, some of them, you know.
Who's not?
Even our guy Cameron, I don't really put the term legend on him.
Cameron.
but, yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I don't think anyone did coming in. And, yes, it's mostly on challenges and competitions. You can't go home unless you lose a competition. And then you have to win other competitions to get advantages. And to also get the power to send people into an elimination competition. But it's also not just competition. It's also got some Big Brothers definitely strategizing.
Oh, yeah.
That last episode we watched, the third episode, was pretty good. I thought it was pretty cool. It's you send in someone in to do a competition, and they had to do it in a certain amount of time. It started with a pretty significant amount of time, so it was pretty easy. So you kind of send your friends in first before your enemies. And we saw a lot of stress and drama and strategy being played inside the house during that final competition. So that was pretty cool. So I don't know if we'll be back. I think it's just you know, killing airtime.
Well, I just meant like I wouldn't mind seeing it come back. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't mind it either.
Yeah,
I wish it was a little longer.
Maybe not like every year type thing, but every now and then if they were to sprinkle it, I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, maybe you see something at the beginning of summer.
Right.
Summer games.
Yeah.
Instead of reindeer games.
Beach party.
But it's not just competitions. I wish Julie Chen was in it, kind of. And
she might be, for all we know, tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. But they do – it's not just competitions. It's got Big Brother to it as well. So there's just no voting people out and stuff like that. So overall, pretty cool. Definitely something to watch before the holidays here. And it wraps up tomorrow night. So we got to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll figure out a way. Because tomorrow, like I said, I'm on the Syracuse game, so I'll be traveling back from the game. It's going to be whatever. Either way, we'll make it work. Maybe someone tonight, maybe?
Survivor night.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, we'll figure out a way to watch it before tomorrow, the finale. Maybe it might just have to be an on-our-own type deal.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an on-our-own.
Okay. Hold on. Let me pull up this image. It's just a grill. It's just a greasy stove.
Can't see your hands off.
Hand sanitizer, kids. Yeah, let's get back to more Christmas stuff here quick before we head out. I don't know what movie we're seeing yet this year. I think there's a couple choices I think on the table, admittedly.
I thought we were going to do a vote. And whoever we rank our movies, we all have a movie.
Oh.
And we rank them. And whatever one has the most points is the movie we're going to go see.
Okay.
So you want to see Ferrari?
Well, yeah, but I think that's a movie that, you know, it's tough.
Your brother is a voter.
It's tough.
Actually, doesn't he work on Christmas?
I don't know what he's got going on. No. It's tough, though, because, you guys really enjoyed Ford versus Ferrari, and that had racing as its backbone, but it was,
I did
like,
enjoy that movie.
But it was much more than, like, racing, whereas I feel like when people see Ferrari, they're probably just like, oh, it's a racing. It's not quite true. I mean,
so
it's more of the life.
Same origins of that movie?
No. This one's more of the bio history of Enzo Ferrari.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
That's all right now.
No, it debuts on Christmas.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What about, can I interest you in that animated one?
Animated.
Migration?
No, I'm not doing that one. Sorry, I just can't.
Wonka?
No. The one I hope is still out. Is it The Holdouts? I might be getting the name wrong.
Pat didn't want to watch Hunger Games.
I'm not doing Hunger Games. That would be below Migration for me personally. No, what's the... Is it the movie Holdouts with Paul Giamatti?
I have to look at the movies. I actually have no idea.
I can't remember the exact name. They only had a few showings earlier this past weekend when I went to go see with Matt Godzilla Minus One, which was really good. Really good.
It was really good. From Matt.
Yes, really good. 9.5 out of 10 for me personally. So,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah, subtitles. Sad subtitles.
Oh.
Really good, though.
I don't know how I feel about that, reading the whole.
You wouldn't really. It wouldn't bother you by the end of it. Trust me. Trust me on that, okay? Yeah, I think end on this note here. What's your favorite thing coming up here for Christmas? Favorite tradition?
I honestly like Christmas Eve more than Christmas.
Mm.
Big Christmas Eve guy. Having some family over. Be cool. Big Christmas Eve guy. Yeah. That's on Saturday. The Christmas on Monday is weird. It really is. I want to say this in something that won't offend people about this weekend, but it kind of dampers the weekend when it's on a Monday. It kind of it's not really a weekend. It's a holiday weekend. You know, I don't know. I don't care for it on a Monday, and especially just the idea of Christmas on a Monday. Not a fan. I personally, let's put it on Friday every year. I think Friday would be a great day.
That's how that works.
I say we put it on Friday. Then you have Saturday after and Sunday.
Plus Thursday for Christmas Eve.
Yeah. And then Wednesday for Christmas Eve. I mean, it's a great week.
Oh, my God.
Monday, I'm just not a fan. But what was the question?
Favorite thing, favorite tradition. I get the sense your favorite tradition just might be complaining about when Christmas falls.
Yeah, why does Thanksgiving get its own day?
It doesn't. Christmas.
I thought Christmas was the go. I really thought Christmas was the go holiday, and it doesn't even get to pick what day.
It's not even your go holiday. You just said it as much.
It's not. Probably going New Year's Eve, number one.
Oh, my God.
And then 4th of July, too. And Christmas? Maybe Christmas Eve. I'm an Eve guy. Thanksgiving Eve, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve,
holiday.
Halloween Eve. I mean, it's just great, you know, great Eves.
My favorite holiday is Leif Erikson Eve Day. What the hell does any of that mean?
I mean, Christmas Eve is definitely the goat of the Eves because it has a Christmas Eve. So, but anyway, my favorite thing about Christmas is probably Obviously, it's the New York Knicks. They need to be playing at noon every single Christmas day. I love that. I like when football's on, so that's the plus side of having it on a Monday, I guess. but so the TV's good. I look forward to our movie every Christmas night and just hanging around with the family.
Yeah, I enjoy it, the family element of it. Christmas Eve is always fun because, like, at least now as, like, we've gotten older, it's kind of more loose in my mind. Like, I don't know, in that sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like...
There shouldn't be too much stress.
Yeah. I think, you know, as a kid, like, there's still, like, the element of, like, I don't know. I think you just view it through a different lens as you're younger, yeah. I guess, in a sense.
It comes and it goes. It's kind of like...
But, like, yeah, for me, I'm kind of like you. I think I enjoy Christmas Evil more than Christmas itself.
Yeah.
But, like, collectively through the two days, it's just fun. You know, you get to talk with family and see family sometimes. It, you know, you only usually see a couple times a year if you're lucky anyway with that sense. And, no, for me anyway, like, I know you guys know, but, like, no, you and Matt are, you know, my brothers as well in this situation. So I enjoy getting out with you guys and we're able to at least spend a couple hours together, you know. In darkness and seclusion, but no, it's fun. I mean, like, you know, we saw Endgame. That was one of the last movies I think in theaters I saw before the pandemic, if I remember right. Yeah. Was that Christmas night Endgame movie where we got literally the final, I think, four seats in the IMAX theater. So
yeah, it was sick.
Yeah, so I think it's just kind of the general thing. But my goat holiday is definitely Leif Erikson.
Just kind
of, I think 4th of July for me. I'm a big summer guy. We know that.
Yeah, I'm a huge summer guy. Yeah, so. I can't. It's the worst part about I love Christmas and I love New Year's, but I hate January.
January. That's the worst part about not even so much Christmas for me because, like, you have that week, but, like, you get out of New Year's and January drags. Like,
it's a just long drives. Month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I swear there's 50 days in that month.
Feels like it.
Luckily, we get a little
February for having 28,
29. I think next year.
Oh, it is 29 because it's a leap year. That's right.
Screw you, February. And then March sometimes is terrible. At least Madness. When March Madness gets here, I'm like, okay, we're feeling good, feeling confident.
Summer's at least summer. Like when mid February comes around, you at least get, you know, you got baseball starting up again, you got NASCAR starting up again, you get some of the warmer sports kind of going again. And at that point, too, not to kind of dunk on it, right, but, like, at least with football, you have the Super Bowl right there, too, now. Yes,
that helps.
Hockey's already usually at a fever pitch at that point, but you're post-All-Star break there. NBA, you're at the All-Star break, and at least the players usually give a shit at that point. Yeah, so,
true.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think like, right about that February 15th is where, you know, it kind of turns a little bit, you know. But I do agree, there are certain times where March does drag. Cause,
February,
like,
15th. You don't want to give Valentine's Day a shout-out, huh? You don't want to give Valentine's Day.
Love is overrated. So on that note, Nick, who are you shouting out this week?
Well, this isn't my shout-out, but shout-out to Andrew McCutchen coming back on a one-year deal. $5 million.
One more time.
I think so. Be interesting what he says. I think he's the type of guy that's not going to have a farewell tour. But
no. Might not have a choice, though.
It's true. But shout-out to my sister, Samantha. Coming home on Friday.
Shout out Samantha.
Comes home for 6 days a year. So I always look forward to that. And she'll be here on Friday. And she'll be here for 6 days, whenever that is. Thursday
or Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so shout out Samantha. See you soon.
So, Nick, on that note, I'll see you anyway, but Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas, everybody there.
Say it to the fans.
That's it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Even though we'll be back.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I guess on that note, we will depart. And I guess we'll see everybody next week. Enjoy the holiday, everybody. Be safe. Have fun. Talk with everybody then.
Is Die Hard.